So 1 Timothy in chapter 2, we're going to begin to read in verse 8 down to 12. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Over to chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 14 and 15. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behaviour, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Down to verse 14. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. And God will bless the reading from his infallible, inspired word. The newspapers and Alf Unbeliever McCreary of the Presbyterian Church have been offering various opinions, various arguments for the position of woman ministers, in particular the woman minister called Christina Bradley. The arguments that they have offered in the newspapers are, in the true sense of the meaning of the word, pathetic. Arguments as to how she should be able to force herself into the pulpit of any church she likes against the will of that church and the minister of that church. And we have seen in our newspapers via the many letters that were written by ordinary people of our land, we have seen how dictatorial feminism can be. A casual reading of the points made for women elders shows how weak and how illogical their case is. We looked at these arguments the last time. It was 2 weeks ago. This is a continuation of the same subject. We looked at their so-called scriptural argument for woman ministers or elders, and surprise, surprise, we found there is none. No scriptural argument. The only time Christina Bradley quotes a verse of scripture in her argument is the verse where Jesus says, if your brother offends you, go and confront him about it. But she forgets to quote is the rest of the verse, where you have to go and confront them about it, just yourself and him. Because she didn't do that, she went to the newspaper. See how people take verses out of context? Just quote a little bit. But that has nothing whatsoever to do with an argument for women elders. Anyway, that's the only scripture that was ever used. Secondly, we looked at the other argument that appeared in our newspapers, which was predominant. We don't like the Apostle Paul. He's a woman hater. And that was proposed as an argument for women elders. Well, Paul wrote 14 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. And how do you decide where he was wrong then, if you don't like him? And which bits you don't like, you just throw out. It's not much of an argument. The other argument they used was the argument of discrimination. It's discrimination not to allow women elders. Another argument was women's rights. And another argument that they used was, why do so many women want to make tea? And so on. Which is not an argument at all. So that is the sublime height of the arguments that were proposed for women elders. That's it. That's their arguments. Purely secular. Purely based on laws of discrimination, which are not laws. Purely rights-based. The arguments I do say to you are the height of illiteracy. And the people who propose them, and I'm not saying this to slander, I mean it, they are numbskulls who can't even string two consecutive thoughts together and base their argument on anything. One of my favourite subjects in Bible college was philosophy, how to argue and debate. They see, according to the rules of philosophy, which has nothing to do with Christianity, the arguments that they propose in the newspaper for women elders are illogical. They don't stand anything. They're so weak, even philosophically. So tonight, we're going to continue briefly with the argument that I began 2 weeks ago, which was a point two in the message. Arguments against Christina Bradley's position, or arguments against women elders. Remember, I gave you some of the scriptural arguments against women elders. The position of the elder as a position, as an office, is closed to women in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and Titus chapter 1, verse 6. But not only is the position of elder closed, also, the duties and responsibilities of an elder are closed to women. Preaching and teaching. 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 1 Timothy 2:12. I'm only giving you a couple of references for each. The other duty of an elder, which is to rule and have authority, is also closed to women. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 1 Timothy 2:12. They were just some of the scriptural arguments I gave against the position of women elders. Added to this is the fact that there is not one reference to a female elder in the whole of Scripture. Not one. And added to that again is the fact that when we browse through the New Testament, church leadership is always selected by the local church itself. By the church members. The local church decides and chooses her own oversight. Acts chapter 6, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. And the churches we see in the New Testament are warned repeatedly to watch out for false teachers, to rebuke them, and to have nothing to do with them. So therefore, the churches obviously had their own authority over who got into their own pulpit. They had the authority to ban heretics. So churches scripturally can choose who leads and who preaches. Therefore, Christina Bradley is quite wrong to try and force herself into the pulpit of another church against the will of that church and the minister of that church. That church has every right to guard against heretics like her. The scripture says so. Then, let me deal with the next argument that the newspapers used for women elders. We don't like the Apostle Paul. That was repeated over and over again in the Belfast Telegraph. Well, anybody's like or dislike of the Apostle Paul is completely irrelevant. Because sometimes truth cuts across our like and our feelings. Our feelings are not the fount of all wisdom, nor are our feelings the beginning or end of wisdom. We and our emotions are not the measure of what's true. And Paul the Apostle was not a woman hater. He was not a misogynist. He, in his epistles, praises his co-workers, those who helped him in the ministry, many of whom were women. Romans 16, 1 to 4 and 6 to 16. Scripture proves that the Apostle Paul valued the help of women very much. See, people that call Paul a misogynist, they need to read what the man wrote before they start opening their mouth. He greatly appreciated the help of women in his ministry. And then the other argument they used, of course, I'm giving the points against the position of women elders, is it's not discrimination to have a standard. The standard that Scripture lays down is not against women. But the standard that Scripture lays down for who can be an elder makes us against anyone who doesn't fulfill the qualifications that God lays down for a teaching elder. Anyone. Women. Sodomites, children, the spiritually immature, ordinary people that are not qualified or gifted to be a teaching elder, men who can't control their own families. The qualifications that God lays down are not anti-women, but they're anti-anybody who doesn't fit the criteria. The standard must be upheld against any who don't meet the requirements. It's not just women. A teaching elder, therefore, must be this and this and this and this. That's what God says. And then their argument for women's rights. Well, there is no such thing as women's or men's rights to a pulpit. Outside of God's standard and outside of the local church's consent, there is no such thing as rights to a pulpit. Women and feminists' rights do not override church's rights or men's rights or ministers' rights. Feminists have no priority in the area of rights. So quoting women's rights is so what? It's irrelevant. No priority. Rights are irrelevant. And then the last argument they used, why do so many women seem content to make tea and do this and that and the other? Well, that's easily answered, because most Christian women want to obey God and the Bible, and they are not proud, nor are they arrogant enough to exalt themselves as most ordinary humans would be horrified at the thought of getting up into a pulpit. And that's why, because it was Alf McCreary who came up with this, that's why, Alf McCreary, most women are quite content to make the tea and do other things that the Bible quite willingly lets them do. Because most women who are Christians are nowhere near as pompous or as proud as Alf McCreary. And that they know more and obey more of the Bible than Alf McCreary, who's a Presbyterian Church of Ireland elder, who swore under oath that he believes the Westminster Confession of Faith, but in practice proves he doesn't.
So he's a blatant liar who should be excommunicated from the Presbyterian Church, according to the rules of the Presbyterian Church of Ireland. You can't be in leadership without swearing your agreement to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Oh, McCreary is a liar. He should be thrown out.
Now, that's the arguments against Christina Bradley's position, basically. They are quite biblical. They are logical. They are humble. And they are strong. And this is obvious, that the arguments against women elders are all those things, because there is no real argument for women elders. There's no sensible one at all. That brings me to the third point. What is the real problem? All this argumentation going on in the newspapers, what's the real cause? What's the cause of all this controversy in the Presbyterian Church of Ireland? You know, the answer is very simple. The real problem is really nothing to do with women elders or anything like that. The real problem is your view of the Bible. Is this book God's inspired, inerrant word? Or is it a collection of writings written by people of various opinions? That's the issue. Is this God's inerrant word, like it says it is, and like Jesus says it is, right down to the smallest jot or tittle? Is this God's word like Jesus says, or is this a collection of human writings that are mixed with culture and error that we have to sift out and remove via human intellect? The cause of women elders in the church is a rejecting of the Bible as God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word. That's the cause. That's the real problem. A weak doctrine of Scripture is the cause. And it's not a matter of interpretation. It's nothing to do with interpretation. The interpretation is quite plain. And it doesn't mean the opposite of what it says. It's a matter of blatant disobedience to the plain meaning of the Bible. It's not interpretation. And anyone who would justify women elders, anyone, is a liberal. Anyone who would justify women elders, no matter what they profess, is a liberal. Because they are denying the authority of the Bible. They have put themselves above the Bible, not under it. They're denying the authority of the Bible. They don't believe that the epistles are the word of God, or else they wouldn't say what they do say. But they believe that the epistles are man's word, Paul's word, man's opinion, and they believe that they are the authority that can come and remove the bits that aren't popular from the epistles. To a person that does not accept this book as God's word, immediately they've got a big problem. And it's a problem with authority. Who is the authority? That's the issue. Because if they don't accept this book as God's word, their opinions and their brain, their feelings sometimes, becomes the authority. And they judge the Bible in the scales of secular, pagan opinion, and they find the Bible is wanting.
and they change the Bible to suit. There's so much inconsistency among professing Christians. I'm going to give you a quote from the newspaper. I want you to listen very carefully too. You ready? What do you hear this? For a complete lack of understanding from a professed Christian that wrote into the Belfast Telegraph. Here's what he says now. Even if we take the Bible to be the inspired, infallible Word of God, even if we take the Bible to be the inspired, infallible Word of God, all we have here, in 1 Timothy, all we have here is one early church leader's opinion, one man who does not permit women to speak in the church. I cannot extrapolate from there to Mr. Neely's stance, that's another letter, which holds that such a position is a divine decree. Now listen to it. Here's what the man says. You see the utter lack of understanding of the words that just came out of his own mouth. He doesn't even understand what he just said. Because one sentence says one thing, and the next one contradicts it completely. He says, if the Bible, even if we accept that the Bible is God's inspired, infallible, cannot be wrong word, even if the Bible's that, all we have here is one early church leader's opinion. And it's he who wouldn't let women speak. Complete contradiction. No, Mr. Scatty and the logical. If this book is God's inspired, infallible word, then what we have here is God's inspired, infallible word. And it's God who therefore says, he does not permit a woman to preach, not Paul, if this is God's inspired word. It's not Paul's opinion if we accept that this is God's inspired word. You see, that's the thinking of people. They can say, well, I accept it's the inspired word of God, but that's just Paul's opinion. That's a contradiction. It's mad. The man who wrote that letter is completely scatty. One thought does not even connect with the next thought. The cause of women elders in any church is a liberal view of the Bible. You don't believe it's God's word. If it's God's word, God says it, not Paul. God. So it's a liberal view of Scripture that's the problem. Let me draw to a conclusion and do a wee bit of application. What's the answer to all this? The answer to all this is very simple. Don't have anything to do with liberals or heretics, no matter what they profess. The Bible commands separation from that type of person. Anyone that doesn't believe the Bible is a liberal and a heretic and should not be accompanied with. I've given you 3 points. The arguments for Christina Bradley's position, there are none. No sensible ones, and there are certainly no scriptural arguments. Secondly, I give the arguments against her position. They are scriptural, many references in Scripture. Also logical ones, strong arguments and common sense arguments that churches have rights as to who they put in their own pulpit. And the third thing, the real problem, is a liberal view of Scripture or an unbeliever's view of Scripture. Now, an answer to the journalist Victor Gordon, who wrote in the Belfast Telegraph on the 2nd of January 2008, he wrote this question in big type at the top of the page. He asks the question, how long can such discrimination continue? In answer to his question, as long as churches can choose who they want to preach in their own pulpit, then you'll have to put up with such discrimination, if that's what you want to call it. As long or until the state starts to dictate who preaches again. That's how long. Mr. Gordon. as long as churches have the freedom to pick who they employ as ministers, as long as that, as we have that freedom, then we can decide who preaches in our churches and in our pulpits that we pay for. Until then, until the United Kingdom becomes like communist Russia was, or China, or a fascist dictatorship, where the state enforces religion, like Nero, the Roman Emperor, or like the great tyrants of history, or like Lenin or Stalin. Until then, churches and ministers can decide who preaches in the pulpit they own. Until then. Because it's a free country, isn't it? The state does not dictate. Christina Bradley is a liberal, ecumenical, unbeliever. You had a look at her theology. It's not theology. She's a liberal, ecumenical, unbeliever. And so is Reverend Donald Patton, who is the new Presbyterian Church of Ireland moderator, who was in last week's papers. I want to prove both things. Number one, Christina Bradley. I'm reading now from the Belfast Telegraph. Gender row minister in service in the Catholic Church. The woman minister barred from the pulpit of her fellow Presbyterian church in Portadown at Christmas shared a service this week with four ministers in the town, all men. The Reverend Christina Bradley of Armagh Road Presbyterian Church shared the pulpit of St. Patrick's, that's the chapel, with the clergy from the Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, the Methodist Church, the Salvation Army, and the Quakers. The occasion was the 100th anniversary week for the Prayer for Christian Unity that was held under the auspices of the Churches Together movement in Portadown, which embraces all denominations. Blatantly ecumenical, all liberal unbelievers all together, like a big bunch of huggy-wuggies who don't believe anything. There it is. Point proof. Secondly, the new moderator of the Church of Ireland. Here's what the newspaper says. Dr. Patton, who is a chaplain at the Antrim Hospital, said he took part with other clergy, including Catholics, during the anniversary and carol services. This is the new moderator now, who calls himself a warm evangelical. He said that he would have no difficulty representing the Presbyterian Church at civic services and gatherings where the Reformed faith was not compromised. Hang on a minute. The Reformed faith was the faith of the Reformation, which separated from the Church of Rome, and he's saying he will go now back together with the Church of Rome as long as the Reformed faith is not compromised. Is that not a complete contradiction? It's not the Reformed faith he's talking about. It's a faith of his own imagination. To meet with the Roman Catholic Church is to compromise the Reformed faith. And he says at the bottom, he calls himself, described himself as a warm evangelical. A warm evangelical who does not believe the Greek word, the evangel, the gospel. How can you be an evangelical and not believe that? How can you be an evangelical and let and accept that unsaved Roman Catholics are Christians? That's what he accepts. He accepts them as Christians, when in reality, if they don't believe the gospel, they're going to hell. How can you call yourself an evangelical and say that? You don't believe the evangel yourself if you say that. And then one last quote from him. I will share the pulpit with a female cleric, he says. That's the Belfast Telegraph, the 7th of the 2nd, 2008. Page 16. So there you are. That's the truth about the Presbyterian moderator. So there you have it. Another unbelieving liberal who disregards the plain teaching and the repeated teaching of the Word of God. Now, how long, I ask, can any true Christian stay in a church that is so obviously apostate? How long? The Bible says you're to rebuke heretics and throw them out, or else separate yourself from those who teach error. You can't stay in it and be obedient. You're not to unite with heretics and apostate. And it is so sad that so many professed Christians in Northern Ireland do not believe the Bible anymore. They don't believe it. They believe the bits they like. They will not accept the teaching of this book. So many. The scripture is resting so inconsequentially upon the church. Human opinions don't mean anything if they contradict the Bible. It is written is the only argument we need. An elder must be a man of one woman. It is written, I suffer not a woman to teach, but to remain in sin. It is written, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority. It is written. That's it. This is the Word of God. And it's either believed or it's not. There's no halfway house. Now, I do not like controversy. I do not. You might think I do sometimes, but you don't see the anxiety. I do not like controversy. But I love the Word of God far too much to see it trampled and scorned and torn apart in the public arena by professed Christians who are apostate unbelievers. I like the Bible too much to let these things go. By God's grace, I will never let these things go. It is love of the scripture that compels me to say what I say. It's not enjoyment of controversy. It's a righteous zeal. It's an indignation against the blasphemy of women ministers. It is blasphemous. It is against the very Word of God. It is blasphemy. No matter if the British government outlaws blasphemy, that's irrelevant. It is blasphemy against God. It is Satan's followers who, according to 2 Corinthians, appear as the ministers or messengers of light. You believe that part of the Bible? Who are they then? Who are the ministers of Satan that appear as ministers of the gospel? Who are they, if not these? The whole thing is deadly serious because it calls into question the whole reliability of the Word of God.
It threatens the reliability of God's word. And it's been done by people who profess that they're Christian. And that can never be allowed. Never be allowed. And that's why, if you love the word of God, you must speak out when heretics start blaspheming God and his word. Amen. Thank you for your time.